all news, traffic, and weather driving to work and back home. FM News 101 KXL, Oregon's station of record.
And back talking economics and business with Patrick Stone, the president and CEO of Williston Financial Group. And Pat, let's move now to topics on the home front. Real interesting quote from Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner last week in the New York Times. He said, quote, "The central paradox of financial crises is that what feels just is the opposite of what's required for a just and fair outcome." What's your read on that quote?
I'm still trying to figure out what he was saying, Brian.
You want me to read it again?
I think maybe there's a little justification there for bailouts of the financial institution, the auto industry, and then there's a question about moral hazard, which keeps coming up, and I think that maybe he's in a very oblique manner addressing that issue. And I would argue candidly that the issue of moral hazard was sacrificed immediately when we bailed out the financial system and the automobile industry. And the idea that we face some sort of moral hazard by, you know, writing down principal on personal loan or on home loans, I think that's ridiculous. We've already crossed the bridge. You know, we need to fix the economy. We need to be aggressive to do it. And I understand what he's trying to say. And I think we either go all in or forget it. You know, there is no moral hazard left, but that issue's already resolved.
Pat, you've been around the block at least once more than I have. And I got to ask you, it seems that every decade, in varying degrees, we as a nation are reevaluating things. What's going on? This happened around the turn of the century. It happened in the early 1990s. It happened in the early 1980s. It's like every 10 years there's some sort of issue that we have to overcome. Can't we, is there any way we can maybe smooth that out moving forward?
I don't think so. I mean, you know, it really goes all the way back to pre-revolution times. I mean, I think it's a byproduct of having an open society and in a free market economic system. And you are going, unfortunately, the needle never stays in the middle.
Yeah.
It goes clear to the right or goes clear to the left, or we go to excesses. We tend to correct, and the process of correcting is this reevaluating our, reassessing our values, you know, recalibrating our economy. I don't see this ever changing, and I'm not sure we want it to change, to be honest with you. The system does work. My biggest fear is that we try to regulate the system too much sometimes, and it won't work anymore, or that power becomes so concentrated, one aspect of the spectrum, that it's hard to, you know, the people are no longer heard, if you will.
Talking economics and business with Pat Stone here. You know, in general, Pat, the Democrats want higher taxes. Republicans want tax cuts. Republicans, they want to cut entitlement programs. Democrats don't, in general. Why, this may be groundbreaking, but why don't we do both? cut the entitlement programs, raise taxes. It just feels like this gigantic game of chicken right now in the political system, and nobody out there is willing, no politicians, very few, are willing to step forward and say, we need to bite the bullet.
Well, that's because they're continuously running for re-election. They're not serving the citizens. They're running for re-election. You know, the one thing about the deficit committee, the Gang of 12, is that if they fail, we get an automatic sequester. You know, we basically get a mandated $1.2 trillion reduction over the next few years. And it is, interestingly enough, split half between domestic programs and half between defense. So, you know, that doesn't solve the problem long term. I hate to see that happen, but that takes away the idea that maybe, you know, we're running up against some sort of artificial crisis like we did last time raising the deficit ceiling. It used to be that we compromised and we did both, but people are too busy appealing to their constituency and not representing the country. You know, I mean, I'm getting into political areas, which I'm not an expert in, but I got to tell you that it's pretty obvious to me that the politicians don't represent the people anymore.
Yeah, I mean, you just go back to even the 80s with Reagan and Thomas P. Tip O'Neill. You look at the great senators we had from the state of Oregon, Bob Packwood and Mark Hatfield. And no, they didn't always get their way, but, you know, they did the best they could to represent us. And It just seems like that is lost, but you know, we could again spend the rest of the show talking about that. I guess my next concern is moving forward, and I talked to so many business owners in this community and this region about what we need to do. We had Frank Foti, the president and CEO of Vigor Industrial, on the show, and we talked a lot about government and the role it should have in business. I know many people feel they want government out of business, and you've made a good point that government has been in business since the 1800s. But I guess what my concern is, as we emerge from this, and we will in the next decade, it's going to take time. Do Americans know how to do anything, quite frankly, that the world will pay them a living wage for? Can we make things? What can we do, especially in our rural areas? Pat, you're from a small town in North Dakota. I'm from a small town in Eastern Oregon. What can or should we do as a society here to solve these problems? And you've got 5 minutes to do it.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, I'm actually amazingly optimistic about the future of the country for a couple of reasons. One, if you look at rural America, we have the most highly productive agribusiness in the world. I mean, this is the amount of food we generate and the development and innovation in agribusiness is astounding. And if you think of the world now having 7 billion people on its way to having 10 billion people in the next 30, 40 years, the ability to feed these people becomes of paramount importance. And nowhere in the world is agribusiness does agribusiness have the amount of creativity and the amount of productivity that it does in America. So I think we actually undervalue that component of our economy, and it's a tremendous resource. The second thing is we are the technological leader of the world. All you have to do is get on a plane, go down to Silicon Valley, and you are going to be stunned at the amount of technological innovation and the vibrance of the technological component of our economy. We are the leader in the world in technology, and by all indications will be for a long time to come. And then I think the thing that's probably undervalued about our education system is that our higher ed system is the best in the world. More foreign students come to America to train in engineering and innovation around the sciences and anywhere in the world. We have a tremendous higher ed system in this world. We need to make sure that we get our primary and secondary education systems in line so that the people that have the interest and are willing to pursue a higher ed can, and the people that don't can get meaningful vocational education.
Thank you.
There's one of the biggest breakdowns in our economy right now is we do not train people for a meaningful meaningful vocational educational pursuit. So if we did that, I think we would be all of a sudden very happy with our education system. Right now we're wringing our hands not knowing which way to go. So those three things are just really outstanding in this country and will continue to be. And candidly, you know, no matter what I say about the world of finance, I've been in the financial sector of the economy now for 37 years. We are the world leader in finance and should continue to be so. And I think we need to keep some balance between financial innovation and the health of our economy and our country. But leadership in the world in finance will continue to be a strength of this country. We will continue to lead the world in innovation. There is nowhere in the world that with products and systems are invented and perfected to the degree they are in this country. And then I think finally, nowhere in the world is there as much skilled management as there is in the U.S., and I think we'll continue to lead the world in business innovation and management. So I'm very optimistic about where we're going. We got a hiccup right now. We got to figure it out. Our economy got out of balance. We got hooked on debt for a few years there, and we're having to pay for it. But it is not the end of the world. I think we have tremendous assets in this country.
And real quick, Pat, I think that most people are now realizing what you've said. You got 30 seconds to back this one up, but it really is going to take time, and that's the only thing that will heal it.
That is it. It is a function of working our way, deleveraging and working our way out of an imbalance in the economy. It is not the end of our country. It's not the end of our system. I think there's a lot of things to be very optimistic about, and time will cure it.
You know, Pat, I couldn't agree more. Great stuff. Our farmers and agribusiness, really the backbone not only of Oregon, but of our national economy. Great stuff, Pat. Thanks for joining us. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday evening. When we continue, the coach, Mike Goss, joins us for our business briefing, Breaking Through Walls segment. This weekend, we wrap up our 8-week series and move forward. We'll talk about outcomes, how important it is to focus on the outcome. That's up next with the coach, Mike Goss, as Business Briefing continues on a Sunday evening here on FM News 101 KXL.